You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. More than 57% of South Dakotans have received at least their first dose of a COVID vaccine. How is the Delta variant impacting our unvaccinated population? Kim Malsom-Risen is the state secretary of the Department of Health, and she's joining us now for an update on the battle against COVID. Secretary Malsom-Risen, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Let's start with the vaccines and the good news as this continues to progress. What can you tell us by way of update?
Well, vaccine remains readily available across the state, and I want to just make sure people understand that it's available at no cost, and some people have had questions about that, but you know, we get the vaccine from the federal government at no cost, and we've got support to help get shots in arms. And so people shouldn't worry about that. You know, you can go to covid.sd.gov, find, you know, various places to become vaccinated in the community. We've really seen, you know, a great increase in access points. And we're going to continue to work on this through the summer and into the fall. We really want to get to 70% of the population being vaccinated. And, you know, we've got about, like as you mentioned, about 57% of the population over age 12 vaccinated at this point. When you look at folks that are 18 and older, we've got about 64% of that group. So we've got a little work to do. And, you know, we just want to, we want people to keep an open mind, keep looking for information about it, and, you know, hopefully choose to become vaccinated.
Let's talk about those access points, because when Dr. Shankar Kaur from Monument Health was on the last time, he said, you know, yes, it's true that some people are, you know, deciding not to get this for reasons that, you know, they have made choices of their own. But largely the next push is really to look at increasing access points and making it easy for people in rural areas to get the shot with minimal disruption to their work lives or their personal lives. Do you concur with that? What is the push toward access at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we think about how people just generally access healthcare, the ways you can make vaccinations most convenient is to couple it with things that people are already doing. So if you're going to a pharmacy, let's say, for other reasons, and it's easy to get a shot there, you know, we've seen a great increase in pharmacies across the state having vaccine available. The other thing that we've seen as we've seen more supply come into being is the ability for people to get shots at their doctor's office. And I know, you know, as a patient myself, you know, when I go to the doctor for other things and they review my vaccination, you know, record and say, hey, you know, you're up for whatever vaccine. It's just an easy way to get it done. And so that's what's happening with COVID as well. And that's just a convenient way for people to, you know, go ahead and get their vaccine.
Right. So as in the early days, we were talking about, you know, people going online and trying to snag a spot. You might have to, you know, go stand in line for 20 minutes. And that really has evolved. Now, what's the best? I mean, you mentioned the website, but if you don't have internet connection, is the best way just to call your local clinic, even if you don't have a regular primary care doctor? How would you suggest people plug in if they just haven't gotten that far yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Call your clinic. In addition to, you know, clinics, we've got federally qualified healthcare centers as well that, again, can help folks regardless of insurance status. And I think that's an important thing to remember as well. So, again, there's no cost to get the vaccine and there's no copay if you have insurance. And so we've got clinics across the state that can help you with that need or other healthcare needs as well.
Do we know more than we used to know about the safety and efficacy of the different vaccines?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, continuing to evolve. You know, folks will remember that we saw a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine here a few months ago to just make sure that all the available data was being reviewed. And then when the group of experts that looked at that data closely, you know, they said that we think it's safe to begin using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again. And so we've had, you know, lots of data now at this point. We've seen millions of people across the world vaccinated. And so that's really given us an advantage to evaluate the safety and efficacy. And again, they are, you know, the vaccines are proven to be safe and very effective against hospitalizations and deaths from COVID in particular. You know, no vaccine is 100% effective at, you know, preventing all potential cases. But we do know that the vaccines really do work to minimize any, you know, potential health effects.
I'm looking at the map. Let's talk a little bit about community spread and tie this into what we're seeing with the Delta variant, which we know is, you know, if you've gotten your shot, you're protected against this variant in a similar way that you've been protected this whole time once you've gotten your second dose and waited to your full immunity time. Jump in here if I've said any of that wrong as well, Secretary. But there are a couple counties that have moderate spread. And, you know, for perspective, I'm looking at Pennington County right now and Meade County, Butte County. That's still not a lot of people. There's 53 active cases in Pennington County, and clearly the population is much higher than that. But it is still some moderate spread and some testing positivity of more than 6%. What are we seeing in that area of the state that gives you pause?
Well, you know, I think where we are seeing, you know, those levels of cases are correlated to where we're seeing lower vaccination rates. And so, you know, we know, again, that vaccination really is the way to end, you know, our time with this pandemic. And so when we see larger numbers of people that are not vaccinated is where we're going to see those cases. And so I don't think we're surprised by that, but it does really, you know, give us an opportunity to help encourage folks in those particular areas to, you know, again, keep an open mind, look at the data, look at the information from reliable sources. And it's never been easier to get a vaccine, and we're just encouraging people to do that because that is what will, you know, keep our cases down in the future.
Of course, we're talking to you here in July, and the big event, Sturgis, is coming up, and that is one of the areas that we're seeing low vaccination rates. Any concerns or message to the people who live or are traveling to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally to say, hey, the gathering is going on as usual, but you have some choices to make, vaccination and then also mitigation factors. What should people know?
Yeah. Well, it is a great thing. And, you know, throughout the summer months, I think we're just seeing a lot of people, you know, coming back together with others. And it's and for folks that are vaccinated, that can be a safe thing. For folks that are not vaccinated, you know, the recommendations are that they would take mitigation strategies like we've been talking about now for the past 18 months. And that's, you know, wearing a mask, avoiding crowded locations, physically distancing themselves from others, practicing good hand hygiene. And so those things are still really important. I would say that they're, you know, some of those things like hand hygiene are just important on a daily basis. But, you know, if people are not being vaccinated or not choosing to be vaccinated, then those other things really do come into play to help keep them safe. And we do also know that, you know, COVID spreads from, you know, through person-to-person contact for the most part. And so if you're going to be in a situation where you're around others and you're not vaccinated, it just increases your risk.
What are you seeing with the Delta variant and the unvaccinated population that you want people to understand? Is it, in fact, worse, more deadly, more dangerous?
Well, you know, we've seen so far 3 cases of the Delta variant in South Dakota, but I'll just tell you that we expect that to be, you know, lower than what's actually happening because that just represents the cases that have actually had the viral sequencing. So we know Delta's here. We also know from data from other jurisdictions that it's more infectious than some of the other strains, and so that means it's going to spread easier. And again, we know it's going to spread among people that are unvaccinated. So, you know, with Delta coming, we're seeing in some states, primarily in the southern part of the country, where, you know, they're starting to see larger increases in cases because of the Delta variant among unvaccinated people. So, you know, we'd really like to avoid being in that situation, and the way to avoid it is to become vaccinated.
Because then we're back. I'm going to say this and correct me if I'm wrong. Are we back where we started, where hospitals can start? My question is, based on our current vaccination rate, if this variant becomes more widespread and impacts the unvaccinated population, are there enough of those people to once again put us in a situation where we are checking hospital capacity and we're trying to, you know, look at the potential death rate? How worrisome is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it is worrisome from the standpoint of it's preventable. And so, you know, we really, now that we're at the point of having vaccines that are effective, you know, we know that hospitalizations and deaths at this point are largely preventable. And, you know, we obviously don't want to see those things happen. And so, you know, we will continue, you know, We're putting out weekly updates at this point on the dashboard, but we, you know, will continue to watch those numbers very carefully, both in terms of case numbers and hospitalizations and certainly deaths. And, you know, again, we, you know, between vaccination and getting, protection from that, what we don't know is how long protection really lasts for folks that have had COVID. And so we know there are some people out there that have experienced COVID and feel like they might be protected from that. The problem with that is we just don't know how long that protection might actually last. And so, again, the recommendation for folks that have even had COVID is to still get vaccinated for their sake. The other thing, Lori, that's really important for folks to remember is, you know, testing is still important. So if a person feels like they've got the symptoms of COVID, you know, please go get tested so that you're not unwittingly spreading it to other people and, you know, causing other folks to get sick as well.
I think that's a really important point because a lot of people, because they're going back into public spaces, are catching a cold or they're getting some kind of funk. There's like, now I feel like I'm back to normal. I know I'm vaccinated. When do you decide between like, oh, hey, there's some wildfires and it's affecting my air quality. Hey, this is probably an allergy or a cold. And hey, I better get tested because I'm not really sure if this isn't what I'm experiencing. Like, what's your advice for making that distinction?
You know, I would certainly encourage people to call their provider because that provider might know that person's, you know, history with allergies or other things that can kind of mimic the symptoms. But, you know, again, we're going to encourage people to get tested just because it's, you know, if we can rule it out, then the person knows they're not dealing with COVID. And, you know, for certain folks where maybe they do think it's something else, but it turns out to be COVID, then they can protect themselves and others.
Yeah. One of the decisions I've had, you know, most of the gatherings I go to, I sort of know who's vaccinated, who not. Because, you know, they're my friends, they're my family, they're my coworkers. We're open and talking about it. When should vaccinated people wear masks or do other mitigation strategies just to protect unvaccinated people who they might not know? I mean, is there, when you're, you know, going to a large event, if you've been vaccinated, should you mask up or should you think about it? Or is it really just for the unvaccinated population to worry about?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the guidance is really, geared towards folks that have not been vaccinated. Of course, folks that have been vaccinated that want to wear a mask or do other things are certainly, you know, they're able to do those things.
Yeah.
But really where we see those other mitigation strategies being most applicable is to that unvaccinated group.
Secretary Kim Olsen-Reisden, always informative to have you on the program. We appreciate this update. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks, Laurie.